Hey, everybody. Welcome to the First Press Sermon Podcast. At the end of the podcast, please take a moment to subscribe to this channel or our YouTube channel to stay up to date with our latest Sunday messages. We are so glad to have you joining us, and we are praying that the following message might inspire you to take your next steps toward Jesus.
I grew up with just this concept of you earn your place, you work hard, you take care of things around you, and that's what would give you those good things in life. I spent a lot of my time just thinking there's got to be something more to this. I didn't know what that was, but there was a void. There was an emptiness in my heart. My freshman year, one of my athletic coaches invited me to this thing called Young Life. Heard about Jesus from creation to dying on the cross for me, for my sin. And it suddenly made sense. At a certain level, I realized that was the thing I was missing. That was the hole, or that filled that hole that I had been longing for. And it was at that moment I realized how much I needed Jesus. But no amount of work on my own, no amount of being good and doing the right thing filled that emptiness. It's a journey of letting go. It's a journey of letting go of my own agenda. The most beautiful parts about being in relationship with Jesus is the journey, is the walking through, is the discovering what is it that God has for me? What path does He have for me?
Amen. Amen. We're continuing in this series, Turn Again. Turning again to the Lord, turning again to Jesus. I invite you to turn in your scriptures to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at the story of Moses in Exodus 3, 1 through 15. And as we open the scriptures, 1 to 14, excuse me, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, open your word to us and open us to your word. Lord, let us not leave this place without having heard your voice. You who we love and adore and worship with all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Exodus 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God. on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Direct it. Some things are worth turning aside to see. We did Thanksgiving in Moab a few years ago, and that was really fun. And on the way back, I wanted to stop off and see a few things with the family. So we saw Mesa Verde. You know, I hadn't been there since I was a kid. Saw the cliff dwellings. We saw the famous Mittens in Monument Valley, Utah, you know. The famous Forrest Gump ran through there and all that stuff. We saw that. And then I wanted to go see Four Corners. So no, it's way out of the way. But no, I want to go see. So I was really talking it up. No, kids, it's really cool. You can stand on the intersection and be in four states at once. There's nowhere else you can do that. Right here, Four Corners. So we drove 2 hours out of the way. And it was closed. We stood in front of a giant, you know, gate, chain link fence with a lock on it. Kids, right over there, right? You could have stood in four different states. Some things are not worth turning aside to see. But a burning bush that isn't burning up, that's worth taking a look at, I'd say. We're looking at conversion in this series, Turn Again. Conversion at the heart of it is meeting Jesus. Is meeting Jesus. And you say, meeting Jesus. What do you mean? You mean studying Jesus? No, more than that. You mean worshiping Jesus or talking about Jesus? Yes, but it's more than that. It's more than that. It's meeting Jesus. If you ask somebody who knows Jesus, they'll tell you, I have met Jesus. Jesus is still roaming these halls. He is still at work. He's interrupting people's lives. He's showing up. He's active. You can meet Jesus. He's present. You might need to turn aside. You might need to open yourself up a little bit. When you feel a prompting, a nudge, an interest, a new interruption, a new sort of spiritual draw, you feel those things come along, and sometimes we feel this nudge, and there's a big part of us that just says, no, I don't think so. I think I would rather just go along with my ordinary life, the things that I understand, the things I'm familiar with. I think I'll just go home. I'd rather watch Netflix. But there's another part of you that says, wait a minute. I think I need to go see. You may be walking into the encounter with the living God that you have always needed, always wanted, in some part of your life, in some part of your soul, always deeply longed for, and you've known that you need. You may need to turn aside and have an encounter with God. God is the God who has a purpose for your life. Turn to Him and you will be directed. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, verse 1, the priest of Midian. He's just running his life, you know, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Moses was born to the Jewish people when they were in slavery in Egypt. But worse than that, it was a season when Pharaoh thought the slaves were getting too many, the Jewish slaves were getting too strong, and so he had ordered that every male infant be killed upon birth. Moses was squirreled away. He was tucked in a basket, sealed up, and floated out on the Nile River with the crocodiles. A snack pack. You know? I mean, there are crocodiles in that river. We've seen them. Anyway, he's rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. He's raised in Pharaoh's palace. But now he had run off because he had killed an Egyptian slave master. So now he's run off. Who is he now? Who is Moses? He is a nobody from nowhere. Just running sheep for his father-in-law. Right there, God intersects with Moses. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see the strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Some things are worth turning aside for. Go see. I'm calling this Moses' conversion story. This is Moses' conversion story. Why? Because conversion is about meeting God. It's about meeting Jesus. When God interrupts in that moment, what will you do? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Are you going to walk away and keep going with the life that you've got all tracked out, that you understand everything around it, with the ordinary run-of-the-mill day? Or are you going to take a step and go see? Moses meets God here. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, what did he say? Here I am. Sometimes that's all you need to say. Here I am, Lord. I don't understand it all, but I'm with you. Here I am. Suddenly Moses finds himself on holy ground. God says, verse 5, do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. There are moments where you realize that God is there, where you realize that God is at work, where something is happening that's not like the other things that happen in your life. There are liminal moments. There are moments where the veil is lifted, and you see that God is by his Spirit, he's present, and he's saying something, he's doing something, he's directing something, he's moving in your life. You have these moments where you recognize, suddenly I'm in a sacred space and time. Moses takes off his shoes and he worships. God is showing you something in those places, maybe showing you who he is. I am, he says, verse 6. Then he said, you know, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses is meeting God. But this moment isn't all about Moses. Notice it doesn't say in here, from that time on, Moses was happy and fulfilled. From that time on, Moses knew that God had met his every existential need. And from that time on, he was whistling through the daisies, right? It doesn't say that, does it? Now, I believe that we are happy and fulfilled in the Lord. I believe that knowing God meets our existential needs. I believe that we are meant to live a life of purpose under our Creator, and that this is the fullness of life. What is the fullness of life? What is eternal life? To know Jesus, to know the Lord and His Son, Jesus Christ. I believe all of that. But it doesn't say that. It says, upon meeting God, Moses realized that his Creator has a purpose for him. God is the God who has a purpose for your life. Amen. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. This world is not as it should be. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. God is a God who is just and faithful and righteous. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. God is a God who intervenes for salvation. And to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So, now, do what? Go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses is directed. He's directed. The rest, as they say, is history. God is the God who has a purpose for your life. What path does he have for you? What plans does he have for you? What will the journey be like following Jesus? Moses recognized the presence of the Lord and he hid his face. He hid his face in repentance. It's a true acknowledgement of his own sin before a holy God. But God called Moses near, promised to walk with him all of his life, and then directed Moses to move out in his purposes for his glory by faith. Moses was called, convicted, and commissioned. Called, convicted, and commissioned. Conversion leads to new life. This is a move from purposelessness to purpose, from self-distracted to God-directed, from aimless to moving on mission, focused and devoted to the mission of God. And you know, people need purpose, don't they? We need purpose. A Harvard study 2 years ago found that anxiety, hopelessness, and depression are on the rise in the younger generations. Pressure to succeed, finances, and a general feeling of lack of control in a world that seems out of control were cited as reasons, as causes. But one of the most disturbing contributors was the lack of meaning and purpose. 58% of the young people surveyed said that in the past month, they had no moment where they felt meaning or purpose. In fact, what was quoted in the study was they said they feel like their lives have a, quote, lack of direction. Lack of direction. We have a big bunch of young adults in our church now, a base camp class. Parker Samuelson leads that class. And I asked him today, does this resonate with you? He said, yes, it's true. You know, even among our people that are engaged in following Christ, people are looking for purpose. They need to find their purpose, their meaning. A self-interested life, a self-directed life, a self-centered life is aimless. And it often runs out of steam. A professor out at Biola published a book last year called Don't Follow Your Heart. Don't Follow Your Heart. Boldly breaking the Ten Commandments of Self-Worship. I haven't read the book, but I went ahead and said, you ought to read it. I'm going to read it. I've read about it. But that's, don't follow, what have we told, I mean, as opposed to every Disney song in the past 30 years, right? We say, don't follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Why? You know why? Because your heart's going to want to do the things that are comfortable. The heart's not going to want to do the hard. God might call you to do something hard. Your heart's not going to want to do that. That's hard. God might call you to do something challenging. He might stretch you. He might call you to go in places that I didn't think I was needed to go. You know, your heart doesn't want to do those things. Don't follow your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things, said Jeremiah. Beyond cure, who can understand it? Maybe we need to follow God's heart. Maybe we need to submit to God's heart. God gives us a new purpose and a new meaning to life when we experience conversion and meet Jesus. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, follow me. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We've got a purpose now. We've got a mission now. We're going to go out. We're going to capture people, only we're capturing people into freedom. We're capturing them into freedom, not into slavery. Don't you wonder what God has planned for your life? Don't you wonder what God would have you doing if you fully submitted to his purposes? Don't you want to know what God intends? You have to be willing to bend the knee and be directed. Conversion involves repentance and faith, turning around and believing in God. Repentance and faith. J.I. Packer wrote, "The repentance that Christ requires of his people consists in a settled refusal to set any limit to the claims which he may make on their lives." Here I am, Lord. Direct it. Direct it. About a year ago, I went to prison as a guest. I was invited to speak to a class there, a class of about 20 guys who were going through seminary in Lyman Correctional. Seminary. They're learning Bible, they're learning the history of the church, they're learning theology, they're learning pastoral care, they're learning all the things that you would learn to become a pastor. But to a man, they are all life sentence inmates in that prison. I only had a short amount of time with them, but I met one of them, and I'll call him Brian. Brian is an Army veteran, Afghanistan combat vet. Sorry. And he got into an altercation when he got back home. He got into an altercation and he killed a man in a rage. When the police came, he shot at the police. He injured one of them severely. His sentence is over 150 years. 150 years. He's not even 30 years old, Brian. His young wife and kids come out to visit him every Sunday afternoon for a couple hours in the yard or in the cafeteria when they're able, you know. He will never see the outside of the Colorado correctional system. Young men have a hard time finding their purpose. I think about Brian. I was driving away from that place, and I looked at the hillside, and I remember thinking, I bet he has every bush memorized. That's all he can see. It's all he can look out on. He can't even see the mountains from there. He'll never see the outside of that place. How do you get out of bed in the morning? The rage in his bones was like a fire for years, and a fellow inmate, a Christian, came alongside him. He introduced him to the prison chaplain. He started bringing him to the chapel services, to Bible study. He told Brian the gospel, the good news, that Jesus died for your sins, even yours, and you can be forgiven because of what Christ has done on the cross. He started going to services, he started going to Bible study, and one night in Brian's cell, he said it was like a light filled up the whole cell. And he got out of bed and he knew that Jesus was there, and he got down on his knees and he gave his life to Christ. The rage in his bones immediately subsided. And now he's devoted with all of his heart to talking to other prison inmates about Jesus. He runs a CrossFit, you know, exercise CrossFit thing, and he's in charge of that, and he uses that to get relationships with these young men and start talking to them about how Jesus can change their life. When he heard that there was a program coming to train life inmates to be chapel servers, he jumped in and said, I'm in it, because my whole life belongs to the Lord. Now, if he can find purpose, you see? If he can find purpose, see, you don't need a platform, you don't need an international influence platform to make a difference for Jesus. You don't need to go to India and Kenya and all. I mean, listen, go if God's calling you to go. Go over there. We'll take you some of those places. We'll take you to Mongolia. We'll take you. Awesome things. But do you see what I'm saying? You don't need an international global platform to have influence. You need to submit yourself to Jesus Christ and his purpose for your life. Jesus has a purpose for your life right where you are, even if you're trapped behind the walls of a prison. There's purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. If you're willing to be directed, if you will turn again to Jesus, God has a purpose for you. You don't have to be Moses, but you need to be like Moses. Willing to be directed. Jesus is here. Moses, when he recognized the presence of God, he repented of his sins. He humbled himself. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Moses, when he heard God's word, he believed. He had faith. Jesus is here. He's here this morning. Will you bend the knee to Jesus? Moses said, when I get there, who should I tell them sent me? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus is here. Jesus still roams these halls. He is present and sovereign over this church. He is present and sovereign over all things. He's here. Will you bend the knee to Jesus? Will you serve him with all your heart? Will you turn again to Jesus Christ? I want to pray for you this morning. And you don't have to follow along in prayer as sometimes we do, but you do have to do this. Make this prayer your own. As I pray, let these words bounce off of your own heart. Make them your own words before the Lord. I want to pray for you, that many of you would turn again, rededicate your lives to Jesus, that some of you might turn to Jesus for the very first time, right here, right now. Jesus is here. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Make this your prayer. Jesus, I open my heart to you. I've been pursuing my own desires too much. I want to know what you have for my life. Save me, Lord, and I will be yours. I want to know you. I want to follow you. I give you my life today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that for the first time, or if you feel that you're coming to the Lord in a new way this morning, I encourage you to find this card for prayer and spiritual support. Let us know what's happening in your life. Give this to one of the pastors or prayer team members on the way out the door. We're going to hold a baptism service at the end of the series on April 27th. Maybe it's time for you to come to the waters, to come to the Lord, to dedicate your life to him. If you've rededicated your faith, talk to us this morning. Tell us what God's doing in your life so that we can celebrate with you. There is new life here in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Once again, thanks for listening. To plan your visit, head to our website, firstpresscos.org. That's FIRSTPRESCOS.org.